Greetings. Welcome to Confessing the Blues. I'm your host, Jim Ange Anderson. On today's show, we feature Susan Williams and the Right Groove Band. Let's roll! Susan Williams, Dara Wright, welcome back to the Farmhouse Studios.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's nice to be here.
It's good to be back.
Well, the last time you were here, you were just putting the finishing touches on a new CD, and it's arrived. So tell us about the CD.
Okay, well, we're really excited about it. It's called It's About Time, and that's not from a title of any of the songs on there. It's because when I told people I was finally recording a CD, almost everyone responded, well, it's about time.
So, right. Oh, yeah.
So I decided I better just name the CD that. We got it in early January, just in time to take it with us to Memphis to the International Blues Challenge. Yes. And we're really proud of it. We've started to get airplay over in Europe and across the United States. So we're getting some really good response from it.
That's excellent. Well, tell me about the recording process of the album and the writing process. Well, let's talk about the recording process.
Okay. I don't know where to start. Really.
You had the songs already written?
They were written.
Yeah.
Yes.
Susan wrote the bulk of material, and then Mike Gallimore, the guitarist in the band, also contributed a couple of songs.
Okay.
Right. A couple of them I had written some time back, but we did some major revisions to them. Most of them, I would say, I wrote just in the few months before we did the recording. In fact, there were a couple of songs that were probably only a few days old.
Yes, they were.
They were just born,
right,
when we recorded them. So we were all kind of flying by the seat of our pants on them, but that was kind of fun too.
Well, there's probably a certain amount of spontaneity, because if these songs that you've been playing for years and years versus going in, hey, here's this fresh song, and it's live as it happens, right?
Well, yeah, that's true. Another thing that I really liked about it is that, because we're both bass players, what I laid down as far as even in my head was the bass line and what I wanted to do with the melody. So then I gave that to Mike and Rob, the guitar player and the drummer, and said, do what you do. I don't have any real preconceived notions about, you know, what I'm hearing for the guitar or the drums. So I trust you, make it happen. And they did. So that was really cool.
Yeah, it was a really good process where Susan wrote the songs and the melody. And we kind of take everything and wrap it around that, as opposed to doing a music bed and then trying to come up with a melody. She already had the melodies and the lines laid out, so we just had to create a bed around the melody.
Sure. Well, and I think that works, you know, for the band to kind of, they already have a sense of where it's going.
Yes.
And they can just add their own.
Correct.
Their own parts.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Could you name one of the songs that was new and you guys just created in the studio?
I think Too Little Too Late was
too
one
little,
of
too
the,
late.
The last ones that I
yes,
wrote.
Yes, Too Little Too Late.
You call me on the phone, you say you've had a change of heart. You wish you'd never left me, now you're falling all apart. It's too little too late, baby,
too little too late now.
You know it's been too many years. It's too little too late, baby. Your words are falling on deaf ears. You're telling me how you've changed. You're a completely different man. You know I don't believe it though, 'cause I don't think you can. It's too little too late, baby,
too little too late now.
You've been away too long. It's too little too late, baby.
So the concept "too little, too late," are your songs based on some experience or based on observations? I mean, where would something like that come from?
I mean, I think it's a combination. I mean, we've all had experiences with, you know, bad relationships, but most of the songs were probably a compilation of a little bit from this relationship, a little bit from that one, a little bit from one of my friends' relationships. You know,
right.
Just. Things that came together and worked and made for a good storyline, I would just put it together like that. So I've always enjoyed writing poetry since I was a child. And so writing lyrics comes fairly easily to me. And I really get such a kick out of it and just try to put across a message that I think other people can relate to because... I mean, if we're adults, we've all experienced some of this.
Right.
I'm going down a one-way street, moving in the wrong direction. First you try to tell me that I'm moving too fast. You say slow it down if I wanna make it last. When I try to back off like you asked me to, you tell me I don't care that I'm making you blue. Now tell me what on earth am I supposed to think? I tell you that you're gonna drive me to drink. Now I'm going down a one-way street, moving in the wrong direction. I said I'm going down a one-way street, moving in the wrong direction. No matter which way I go, it don't lead to your affection. Thank you. want to stay in. When I feel like staying home, you want to see your friends. When I want to make love, you tell me not tonight. No matter what I say or do, it never seems right. I hate to say it, you seem happy when I'm sad. I'm at a crossroad, cause you're driving me mad.
I was born on a one-way street, so I can relate to that.
See, so was I.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have to share, as I've been sending things out to, or sending the CD out to DJs and asking if they would listen to them and give us some airplay. And I, you know, I've gotten really
funny,
really good feedback. You know the story I'm going to tell. Mm-hmm. I've gotten, you know, really positive feedback, which has certainly been encouraging. But one guy said, "Oh, your musicians are great, and you have a really great voice." He said, "But all your songs are about breakups and sadness, you know, broken relationships, and you should, I know, maybe you've just gone through a hard time, but you should balance it out with some happy songs." And I thought, aren't we doing the blues?
Right, this is the blues, right? Yeah.
I thought we were doing the blues. Yeah. And why would you, you know, thinking, why would you assume that this is all just based on, you know, on personal experience?
Right. Yeah.
I just said, thank you. Thank you for the feedback.
And we laughed.
Yes.
I mean, think of the audience reaction. My baby done left me. And then I won a new Cadillac.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, or something like that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have one song that's, you know, about being happy in a relationship. And that almost felt wrong because I kept saying to Daryl, I don't know if this is the blues or
right.
not, because it's happy.
It's a happy blues.
Yes.
But there's a certain amount of, I think, like you said, people relate to your music. So I think there's a certain amount of joy that comes from people saying, I'm not alone in this.
Yes. Yeah.
And I can relate to this. I've been through something similar.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with a little bit of joy. Everybody deserves a little bit of happiness.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and that goes back to even the spiritual, right? Because it's, I'm, you know, I've got good things going. I have hope and I hope to be happy. You
right.
know, that's okay.
Right, yeah. True. When I even think when you're talking about getting out of a bad relationship, I mean, that has that element of
sure.
hope and strength
yeah.
in it, too.
It's positive.
Yes, oh, yes. Exactly.
Very positive.
And for our listeners who don't know you, you, Daryl and Susan, are a couple.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
And I don't even know how to say anymore. We're past being boyfriend and girlfriend, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we feel too old for that.
I heard someone use the term
chuckle.
Spousal equivalent. So how about that? You guys are spousal
there you go.
Equivalents.
Yeah, spousal yes. equivalents. I can't even call her my better half.
That's it. That I like.
I like that. Yeah.
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 So working together, creating together, performing together. Do you ever spend time or need time alone?
You know, that's really interesting because even when Susan and I are what, for lack of a better word, alone, we're usually thinking about something that we have to go back and ask the other, you know, what do you think about this idea here? So, yeah, we do, but at the same time, we don't, because we're always thinking about what the other person's thinking. especially when it comes to creativity.
Right, right.
You know, it's what we're doing here. The wheels seem to be turning all the time, which is good.
It's a great situation to have this fertile music and someone to bounce it off of who understands.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely. It's the best. It really is the best.
Okay. So how about back to the CD?
Okay.
The number one cut, Tell Me You Love Me.
Yes.
Is that intended for anyone in particular?
You know, that one probably was based off an experience, or I dated someone a long time ago that just would not say the words "I love you."
Right,
and so I just ended up writing a song about it again because I just think it's something that a lot of people can relate to.
Sure.
Keep your heart out of reach. You've put up a wall. Sometimes I feel like you've got me. Sometimes you let me fall. If you love me, baby, let me know it. If you need me, darling, you've got to show it. When you hold me so tender, I know your token. My heart is broken from words unspoken. If you want me to stay, then tell me you love me. If you wanna be my man, 'cause words are important, I need to know where I stand. If you love me, baby, let me know it. If you need me, baby, you've got to show it. When you hold me so tender, I know it's your token, but my heart is broken from words unspoken. If you want me to stay, then tell me you love me. Tell me those that I need to hear. Say you love me. What's holding you back now, darling? You know there's nothing to fear. Say you love me.
What would you say is, either of you, what is one of your favorite songs to that you're very proud of for one reason or another?
That's a good one.
Well, given that this is, you know, my first CD, I mean, I feel like I've had a child.
Right.
The whole CD I'm super excited about. I mean, there's clearly no song on there I don't like.
That's true. That's very true.
It's
see,
like
we've had this conversation, Jim, about which, and we end up bouncing around back and forth. One day it's one tune, the next day it's the other tune.
Sure.
And so this goes on constantly. This is constant.
Well, like you said, it's like having a child, and if you ask a mother of six, she
right.
can't tell you
I
her
don't
favorite
have a
child.
Exactly, no. Because you're not supposed to have favorites, right?
Right.
No.
There are different things I like about each song.
Right.
You know, that I'm drawn to. So, and I didn't want them, you know, to be too similar to each other. So I'm hoping that something in several of the songs, you know, will draw different people for different reasons. That just, it speaks to them.
So you do, when you write, it sounds like you enjoy poetry. So the words come first, or the melody, or different. How does?
Usually, some kind of a hook comes to me mm-hmm. first, and then I write the song around what I believe will be a good hook. But in order for me to get some kind of a cadence going, some kind of a melody usually ends up coming into my head. Now that doesn't mean that we don't ever change it. I mean, Daryl has helped me on almost every song as far as with arrangements and kind of tweaking things here and there. But as far as I can't really write the lyrics without having some feel for how the song is going to sound.
Right.
So it just seems like a melody generally comes into my head after the first couple of lines I get going.
Okay. And Daryl, mm-hmm. so when Susan comes up with an idea, right away, your wheels start turning and you start thinking, well.
Immediately. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Immediately. Because one of the first things that I start to do is the songs really need to have Susan be comfortable with the vocal and playing the bass.
Right.
So what happens a lot of times is she'll have a melody, but then we'll start to settle on a bass line that she can sing and play.
Right.
At the same time. So we may go through two or three different bass lines until we go, oh, you know what, this one feels really good. And then she'll start to sing. Mm-hmm. That's when we know.
Right.
When she starts to sing and they both just kind of gel together, that's when we know we're kind of in the right ballpark. But if we're struggling to put the melody with the bass line, but the melody's strong, we just keep going at it
sure.
until we get a really great bass line to go with it.
Right.
So, Susan, do you have notebooks full of lyrics? And
we found some the other day.
Yeah.
I did. We're still unpacking a few boxes from moving a few months ago, and I thought I was going to find tax forms in there, and I found about 20 pages of lyrics in the box, which was way cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, sometimes I find things that it's like, oh, I forgot I wrote a song.
Sure, and you can go back and
go back and, yeah, yes. And even rework things, because one of the songs, I'm Sorry, actually, I wrote it many years ago when I was actually, I had a country band. And so the song was straight out country. And it's a good song as a country song, but as, you know, I've moved completely into blues over the last several years, I wanted to rework the song. So a couple of years ago, well, it had to be more than that because it was before I met Daryl. a friend of mine said, well, try it in a slow blues in C minor. See how that goes. And it kind of worked. So I did it a few times in that way. Yeah. And then we completely changed it into kind of a funky song now, which I just absolutely love.
Oh, yeah.
So that even that excites me, that you can take the same lyrics and you can play it several different ways. And they're all good.
Sure.
You just have to kind of settle on what it is you want to do. Or what you need at the moment.
And you see some artists where maybe they would have a hit song, but they don't want to play that arrangement over and over and over. So they sort of reinvent the song and play it reggae style and play it funky.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And play it as a slow blues. So it's your song. You can do whatever you want to do with it.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think I second guess myself sometimes, though, is this the best possible version of this song, or is there another way I should be trying it as well? So that's probably the thing I'm very hard on myself about.
Yeah. It's the best possible way that day.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's like an artist that has.
That's the way to look at it. For me, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have a blank canvas and you paint something, you can always paint over it.
Right.
Or you can always change it, and you can always paint. You go back to what you had, depending on how you feel that day. I mean, I look at it even as a CD, as a recording, it's a snapshot of what you did that day.
Mm-hmm.
A year
good.
From now, these songs may have
that's
evolved
good,
into
yes.
something else. You know?
True. That's very true. I mean, even a couple of the songs already, it's like now we're playing them live all the time. It's like, I really want to play this one a little bit faster.
Right.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah. And Rob will go, that's not how you did it on the CD. Like, I know, but now it feels like it needs to go a little faster. So let's just do it a little faster. Like you said, who knows a year from now. What we may have done to it. I hear new ways to go with it vocally, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Where I can stretch a little bit more vocally.
You feel more comfortable.
Exactly. Than what I did in the recording. But that's okay. That's just like a child growing up, right?
Yeah. Where did you guys record this record?
We recorded it in Georgetown, Illinois.
That's right.
At Studio 401.
With Rick Sadowski.
Rick Sadowski is, I used to live in Danville, which is close to Georgetown, and so I had met him, and he had been asking me for some time to come and see his studio, and anyway, he ended up suggesting that we do a demo so that I, had some promotional materials, and I did that in 2016, and he just did such a fabulous job. He's got such a great ear, just so good at mixing, mastering, whatever the terminology
that
is.
Final product.
Making that final project. I mean, he just goes over the song so many times till he's got it just perfect. So there was just no one else I was going to go to when I was ready to do my song, my CD of originals. And I'm really, really happy with the work that he did.
Well, can you talk about the band?
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about the right groove?
Absolutely. Well, I think we're the only band in the Chicago area, and I dare say probably a further distance than that, that has two bass players.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say, dueling basses. No, absolutely not dueling basses.
No.
I couldn't begin to duel with
It's not
Darryl.
Dueling.
It's really, I am doing the bass line. I'm keeping the groove and playing, singing the songs. And he does the ensemble work, I guess is what we call it. I'll let him talk about
it. It's really about using the bass as another accompanying instrument. Just as you use two guitarists in a band, they have a role that they serve, and it's about the cohesiveness and how you do it. So that's exactly the approach I take when I'm playing with Susan is what parts can I play? And being familiar with other string instruments, when I was in high school, I played cello and I played upright. And you always, in those ensembles, you got lots of musicians playing with you. So you learn how to blend.
Sure.
And for us, it's been really a treat because it's really about accompanying the vocal. The rest of us, we're here to do the job and have fun with it, but the vocal and the melody How do you play along with that without being in the way and still creating a part? So that's really what we're doing with the other bass, is that we're just creating another texture for the bass to be used in the ensemble.
It's unique, but it really works.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really does. And a lot of people, even other musicians, say, oh, that'll never work until they hear it.
Until they have to hear it. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, my gosh, it does work.
It does work, yeah.
So, and then, of course, we've got Mike Gallimore on lead guitar and vocals, and Rob Davis on drums. And we just feel so blessed because, you know as a musician that the group just has to gel. And you could have great musicians, but if you don't gel with them, it's not going to work.
Sure.
No.
And we just gelled from the very first time we played together because not only are they great musicians, they're fabulous people.
Yes.
And so they feel like part of my family, honestly. We just love playing together.
Yeah, it's so important to get along.
Yes.
You know, you spend a lot of time together.
Yes.
Sometimes even more time than you spend with family. They,
right.
They are like family. So that's,
right, exactly.
That's important. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So we feel like we've got a really good thing going.
Excellent.
It sounds like a song.
We got a good thing going. We got a groovy thing going.
Oh, yeah, there's a positive song we could do.
There you go. You had mentioned that you were in Memphis at the IBC's, the
yes.
International Blues Challenge. Can you
right.
talk about that experience?
It was just a fabulous experience.
It was a very good experience.
We were down there from Tuesday through Sunday. We came home on Sunday, and we just made use of every minute. If we weren't playing, we were going to support other bands who were competing. There were actually a number of musicians that we all knew from different places, a couple of other bands from Chicago, but even some bands from Canada that Rob knew. And so we certainly expanded, our knowledge of different groups, and we networked every second that we could. We did a radio interview down there while we were down there.
Yes, we did, yeah.
With Vinnie Marini, and passed out our cards and our CDs to anybody and everybody, that we thought needed to have them in their hands. So I feel like we made really good use of the time. We performed really well. We were one of 109 bands from around the world, and we absolutely held our own and did a good job and just got great feedback. So it was just a wonderful, positive experience.
I mean, I think a lot of people look at music and bands almost as a competition, and I know that this is a competition, but it almost seems like there's no losers, because it's really a showcase.
Yeah.
Right.
For you guys to perform in front of,
correct.
You know, a lot of the top promoters, radio stations, your peers, et cetera, and then also great networking opportunities, sounds
absolutely.
Like, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that was really our approach when we went down there, was to look at it as a showcase and just do what we do and put it out there for as many people as we could. And we accomplished that.
Yes.
And each band is sort of sent by a different blues society. Who
yes.
are you guys representing?
Decatur. Blues Society.
Uh-huh. Which is the area that you're originally from?
Yes, sort of, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm interested in how the two of you met.
Well, for close to a year, I lived in Springfield after I lived in Danville. And the Alamo is a mm-hmm. well-known blues club in Springfield. So I would, of course, go there nearly every Monday night. And Daryl showed up there a number of different times with different bands. He came down there with Liz Mandeville.
Yeah.
He was there with James Armstrong. And one thing about the Alamo, regardless of who's playing, sometimes it's a local band, sometimes it's a road band, but the last set is generally a jam for any musicians
idea.
Who happen to be there. So I literally met him at his amp, plugging into
okay.
plugging into his amp.
Yeah,
yes.
That is how we met.
So you make a little chit-chat, whatever, and I saw him several different times. And then I'd been wanting to move back to Chicago for quite a while, and I finally got the opportunity to do that. So while I was in the middle of moving, I found out that James Armstrong was having a DVD made, right?
That's right. That's correct.
At another place in Springfield, and I was going to be back down there that night, so I went by to see them. And I'm not sure if James was trying to play Cupid or not, but he may have been. He might have been. He came by and said to me, "You know, you should really go say hi to Daryl. I don't know if he remembers who you are." Yeah. And of course, the vain part of me is thinking, "How can he not remember who I am?" I was like, oh, "Okay." So Daryl came by. I said, "Hey, I'm Susan."
And you know, I said, "I know who you are."
Yeah, I said, "I don't know if you remember me." He's like, "Oh, I remember
you. I know who you are."
And we just started talking. I told him I was moving to Chicago, and he was like, "Oh, really?" And that was just kind of it.
It really was.
As we talked for like three hours that night.
Yeah, we did. And as it turned out, I would have been catching the train the next day back to Chicago. Uh-huh. Susan was driving back to the area. "Why don't we ride together?" And she's like, "Psh, that sounds like a winner to me." And didn't you have something you had to move?
Well, I had a car full of boxes. I said, "Yeah, I'll give you a ride up there if you help me unload my car."
So it turned out to be just really, really wonderful. It was good.
Yeah, and that was it. Good. We were just kind of together after that.
That's great. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Daryl, you had previously told me that a lot of the different people you've performed with, I know the last time you were here, I was playing a Billy Preston record. And you're like, "Oh, yeah, I played with Billy." And you had mentioned Mavis Staples. Do you have any kind of a Mavis Staples story that you could share?
Well, you know, it's really funny. I do, because the way that I met Billy Preston was through her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were playing in France. And I had met Billy. You know, everybody's in and out of these elevators. And we were going out, and there he was on the elevator. And I said, "Hello, how you doing, Mr. Preston?" He said, "Oh, I'm doing just fine." He goes, "You guys playing tonight?" I go, "Yeah, we're playing tonight." He said, "Well, I'll see you." Well, I get to the job, and he's the keyboard player.
Wow.
He was in the keyboard chair that night, and he just chuckled. He just laughed. He said, "Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that, did you?" I go, "No, I had no idea." It was going to be you.
Right.
So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That was a really good experience.
And she's still making great music.
I tell you, she's really incredible to play for and work for.
Yeah.
Very even-keeled, very, very intelligent, always has great things to say. And it's all about the music and the message.
Right.
Very, very good. I mean, I had a wonderful, wonderful time playing for her.
You just have this new record out, and it's the culmination of many years of songs and music. Are you thinking about the next record?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Like I said, these hooks and these lines come into my head all the time, and so I write them down, but I told Daryl I'm not even going to attempt to start writing new songs till this one is out, and, you know, these songs are out there, and we're using them all the time, and I'm really, really comfortable with these songs, then I'll start writing new ones. But yes, I have ideas for many, many new songs.
Excellent. Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
Doing what we're doing.
Right. Yeah.
Be nice if it was on a little bit larger scale, but you know, the thing is, and we've had many conversations about this, both of us are just happy playing, and we don't care where we're playing or how many people we're playing for. We're happy playing in our living room for each other. We're happy with, you know, 5 people in front of us. We're happy with 1,000 people in front of us. So we know that, you know, the passion is there simply for making good music and hoping that other people enjoy it.
That's great. I mean, some people measure success by ticket sales or record sales, but I think really success is that as a musician, you get to play music every day.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah, absolutely. And now with the CD, having somebody come up and say to me, "Oh, such and such a song really spoke to me," or, you know, "I just love that song or this song, and I had an experience just like that," or whatever. That was my goal, was to write things that not only did I relate to them, but other people did too. Right. So that's super exciting.
That's gratifying. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes, it is.
You say you can't come home because there's just too much to do. You tell me that you'll call me about 1:45. Well, now it's 7:30, my phone still didn't ring. I guess it's just because your word don't mean a thing. Shame on you,
shame, shame, shame
for treating
me
this way.
Shame, shame, shame on you.
Shame on me,
shame, shame.
shame on you for treating me this way. I treat you like a king even though you play me for a fool. I wash your clothes, I cook your meals, I make sweet love to you. You take all that I give, you think it's just what you deserve. You give me nothing back, I think you got a lot of nerve. Shame on you,
shame, shame, shame
for treating
you.
Me this way.
Shame, shame, shame on you.
Shame on me,
shame, shame, shame
for
on
not
me.
Walking away.
Shame, shame, shame on me.
You know I really love you and I wanna stay, but shame on you for treating me this way. Some changes, don't expect me to stay. Shame on you,
shame, shame, shame
for treating
on you.
Me this way.
Shame, shame, shame on you.
Shame on me,
shame, shame, shame
for
on
not
me.
Walking away.
Shame, shame, shame on me.
You know I really love you and I wanna stay, but shame on you for treating me this way. Shame on you,
shame, shame, shame on you.
Shame on me. Shame on me.
What am I talking about, baby? This is all on you. Shame on you.
Now we've got Rob Davis, drummer, and Mike Gallimore, guitar player from The Right Groove. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us, Ange.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing? This record sounds like a real fun project. Rob, you want to talk about the recording and what was going on in the studio and how you work with The Right Groove?
I felt like it was pretty easy for me. I mean, being in the studio with them, they all have done it many times, and they knew what to do and where they wanted to go with the song and were able to kind of tell me that. Some of them I kind of learned in the car on the way. You know, the night they had a rehearsal and, you know, put them down on tape, very rough tracks. But The thing that Susan and Daryl would do was say, hey, we want this song to kind of sound like this song. So I was able to listen to the other song and get an idea of the feel that they were looking for. So working with them was pretty easy.
Excellent. And Mike, you wrote a couple songs on the record?
Yeah, a couple of them are mine.
What songs did you write?
Please Come Back to Me and Keep Moving On.
And did you write those with Susan in mind to sing, or are they just something that you had written and thought?
Keep Moving On, I originally recorded with Melva LeBlanc.
Sure.
And I had Mavis in mind when I wrote it.
Uh-huh.
And then Please Come Back to Me, I previously done with Chicago Blues Posse, and I sang it.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first record that Wiz put out.
Right.
First Chicago Blues Posse record.
Yeah. And you'd been on the Confessing Blues radio show previously to promote your record, Living with the Blues.
Yeah.
So you're a band leader. So what is it like being a sideman in this group?
Sideman's easy for me. I just do what I'm told. Yeah. Yeah. And,
by a woman.
Yeah. And I'm kind of like a little kind of drama. I don't like, you know, I'm pretty good at side men. It's been, me and Rob both played with Sam Cockrell, so
sure.
You have to be on your P's and Q's with Sam. If you can survive with him, you can survive with anybody.
Who else have you performed with of note?
When I was with Sam, there was Chris Forte, who was a guitar player, and he has his own project and thing going on now. And I did a few tours with John Primer.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, when I first moved to Chicago, I worked at Buddy Guy Legends.
Okay.
And one of my idols was Ray Killer Allison.
Yeah.
So I imitate him as much as I could and hang out with him and things. But and I also do some touring with the Alex Zayas band now.
Okay.
He's a guitar player from Barcelona, sure. Spain. And interesting thing about Mike here is... what were you mean, in the early 2000s?
Mm-hmm. I used to fill in for Chris when he couldn't make a gig with the group.
Well, when Mike, we reconnected, we were probably, hadn't seen each other in about 10 years when we reconnected, and he gave me a CD. I'm reading, you know, everybody who played on it, and his drummer and longtime friend, Lanny, was... my first drum instructor when I went to college down at St. Joseph's College in Indiana.
Lanny
took
Turner?
Lessons yeah. in Maryville. Is it Rubino's?
Yeah, Rubino's.
Yeah, and I met him, and I loved him. I mean, and worked with him for a couple years, and I probably hadn't heard from him in 20-some years. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's a good friend of mine. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm still playing.
Yeah. I mean, musicians are connected. Like, everybody seems to know each other through long before the World Wide Web, right?
Yes.
Well, Rob, let me ask you. It seems that rhythm section, the drummer and the bassist is normally connected at the hip. So what is it like playing with two bass players?
Well, it's like two hips. I mean, as a drummer, you love to hear that bottom end.
Yeah.
And what is really interesting is, I mean, listening to these two, when they first were telling me about it, I was trying to kind of figure out, okay, well, who am I going to listen to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when it all comes together, it's one sound.
Right.
You know. And it feels good. And it's
excellent. How about you, Mike, being a playing rhythm and lead guitar, do you have to work so that you and Daryl don't step on each other's toes, or how does it complement each other? How do you work that out?
Rhythmically, you have to listen to what the two are doing and stay in the pocket. You can't come out at all, or you step on one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Single note solos, like if Daryl has a solo after I do a guitar solo, instead of building it up, I'll build it down because the bass is a lower instrument. So, you know, it's not going to hit you in the face if I got it way up here and then he takes off and he's in the low registers, right? So I bring it down just the opposite of what I do with one bass in a band, where I bring it up, you know, grand finale, you know.
Right.
That was something that just comes natural listening in the studio when we were playing together. You know, I think when we first started playing, we did a lot of live stuff, and I stepped on them a lot. Now I try to, bring it down so that the bass stands out when he goes for it.
So it adds just a different type of dynamic.
Yeah, the dynamics work in reverse.
Yeah, interesting.
Because what Daryl's playing is a part written for that tune. You know, Susan has the main bass line. Daryl is accompanying. So I have to be in the middle of that and without stepping on either one. So sometimes it's, you know, not much you have to play. Like, you know, instead of hitting the chord four times, you hit it once, you know. What I mean?
Right. Well, how about this? Tell me about your experience in Memphis. What were your thoughts about the whole IBC?
It was cool. I think everybody should go out there and hang out for the whole week.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. You meet anybody. Like, Rob's really good at meeting people, you know. We're sitting there, and we went to this place, hang out, the Kooky Canuck.
Kooky Canuck.
Kooky Canuck. So we're sitting there and we're talking to these guys. They're from California. They're showing us their pictures of the L.A. on fire. And the dude is, what's the guy's name? Guitar player?
Alistair.
Yeah, Alistair Green. But he was guitar player for who?
Alan Parsons
Project. Alan Parsons Project, right. Yeah. And a girl sitting next to us is questioning us, and I'm thinking, why does she want to know what we're playing that for? She turns out to be really big in the industry as far as technology goes. She's like, she's promoting everyone. You know, so, like, it's that kind of scene. You don't know who's, you know, you got Walter Trout and Bob Margolin walking around and, you know, just people. You don't know who they are.
Just kind of a who's who of the blues.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a blast, man. Yeah. We had a great time. And Russell Jackson, bass player for B.B. King, great guy. Rob knew him, turned me on to him. He introduced me to Annika?
Anika.
Anika. Anika Chambers. Yeah, up-and-coming singer out of Houston. Yeah, and, you know, you just don't know who you're going to meet, so it's a lot of networking, and it's fun. I think all musicians should go down there all week. It's more than just a competition. It's a whole gathering of the industry.
And seeing all your friends and people you know playing right. in different bars, it's like, oh, well, we're going to go here at 7:20. Well, we got to be over here by 7:50, you know.
It's too bad that Chicago doesn't have something like that going on, right?
It really should. We had all talked about that. It's like, you know, Chicago could do a blues competition, and I think that it would be really successful. Chicago's unique, though. Yeah. I mean, you can there's not a lot of places where you can be a working musician.
Right.
And not necessarily be playing with the same band all the time and, you know, make a living out of it. You know, all of us have done a lot of traveling, and I think Memphis... I think there's a lot of bars there, but if you're living there, I mean, I don't know how often you could play on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Right.
Yeah, right.
You know, I tell people, look at the Reader and just you see all these clubs.
Yeah.
Well, you don't see
downtown,
that
you got north side, right. you got south side, you got south suburbs, you got west suburbs.
Right.
You got
yeah.
It's just a lot of, you know.
A lot of TVs.
Yeah.
Don't you wish they'd just turn off the TVs when the band is playing?
Yeah, turn the tube off while I'm playing.
Right? I hate it. You know, you finish a solo and everybody cheers and you turn around and like somebody scored a goal.
Yeah.
You're like, I thought I was killing it. You know? Yeah.
I liked it when Michael Jordan played because you couldn't start until the game was over.
Right. Right. And then if they lost, then everybody went home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which wasn't too often. So
that was one of my first experiences with Chicago. I moved here in 93 and... I think I was playing with Sam down at the Palmer House.
Mm-hmm.
And during basketball season, we didn't start till 10:30, and our gig was over at 11.
Yeah. Shouldn't wait. Yeah.
We were like, you know, it's Jordan. Yeah. Nobody plays Jordan while Jordan's playing.
Yeah. Where did you come from before you came to Chicago?
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah.
Go Blue.
All right.
Sweet 16.
Michigan.
What's the music scene there like?
Well, it has gotten a lot better. Yeah. I mean, it was growing up, it was a great music scene. I don't know if you guys ever played at Rick's Cafe or anything, which is in Lansing and Kalamazoo. But and it seemed to like really slide down. And, you know, coming to Chicago was, you know, being a kid on Christmas morning, you know, there's so many places to play and do and things like that. But Ann Arbor has really picked up. There's a guy named Laith Elsadi who was born and raised in Ann Arbor, a couple years younger than me, but he just won The Voice, I think.
Oh, wow.
Not this season or last season. And I think that has really helped and picked up a lot of the music scene.
Pays people paying a little more attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you say we make some music?
I.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hans.
Yeah.
I can almost be
right. You think I'll always come running back to you, 'cause in your mind you are always right. Well, I'm sorry that I love you. You know I love you for too long, and I wish that I had listened when my friends told me. Thank you.